there, Green Future Growers. Thanks for joining us today. If you're new to the show, I hope you'll subscribe on iTunes or your favorite Android app, and let's get growing. Hey, Green Future Growers. Did you get your copy of the Organic Gardener podcast, Garden Journal, and Record Keeper? One of the things that I've learned to be most beneficial for my guests that will save you time and energy is to keep detailed records of your garden journey. So I think I finally found the secret and made a garden journal data keeper that starts any day of the year because you just fill it in. It's blank. There's no calendar. So you just, it's got the days of the week. You can record temperature, freeze dates, frost dates, when you planted, what variety you got, all in one place. So get your copy of the Organic Gardener podcast, Garden Journal, and Data Keeper today. Welcome to the Organic Gardener podcast. I am so thrilled to introduce my guest this morning because it's somebody from the Organic Gardener podcast Facebook group and a listener. And just, you know that I love all of you Green Future Growers. So I'm here today to share her gardening journey with us, and she's up super early because she's in Idaho and I'm actually in New York this morning, so I got to sleep in, and she's up at the crack of dawn, Angel Garbarino. So welcome to the show, Angel.
Thank you, Jackie. I'm happy to be here.
Well, we are so excited to learn about you. So do you want to tell listeners a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, to start off, I am like the beginner gardener of all beginner gardeners. Like this is my first year really gardening. Like 4 or 5 years ago, we bought a home in Idaho while we were living out in California. And the house just sat on an old farm plot with 2.5 acres, and it was just weeds. And when we moved in officially, we had rented it out while we were in California. But when we moved in officially like 2 years ago, there was just one tree. So since then, it kind of started with landscaping. And then this last year, I took a gardening class and decided to start trying to grow my own food.
Wow. Now, are you a rock star millennial?
I just learned that I'm on the cusp of the, like, I think it's like 83, and that's when I was born. So I'm a millennial.
All right. Well, I always figure it's 1980 to 1995. And I even think that's cutting some people out because, I mean, shouldn't a generation be 18 years? I mean, how is 15? But yeah. I don't know how they really make it. And then they have all these things about, you know, I've heard there's a thing about Zionials, which are like people from 1978 to 1983 are kind of like this little own group of their own. But anyway, because I have seen some of the pictures of you on Facebook and you just look so young and active and just my total, like once I had a blog called Chicks Who Pee in the Woods and I was like, well, people who get this are going to understand. They're people who are active, who are outdoors a lot and spend a lot of time. Anyway, I'm off topic. So you did some landscaping, you took a gardening class, and now I love that you are being brave and coming on today because I get so many people that I say, will you come on and share your story? And they're like, oh, I'm too new. But to me, new people, the lessons are fresh in your head and the things that you're going to share are more relevant than somebody who's been doing it for 20 years. I mean, not that people who've been doing it for a really long time don't have a lot of tons of valuable expertise, but just some of the lessons that you're learning are more relevant for newer gardeners. And then landscaping, especially, I just feel like I've been getting bombarded with questions lately about, well, what do I do with my lawn? What do I do with my lawn? What do I put on my lawn? And it's funny because people want a quick fix. They want to go to the store and they want to buy something and they want to know what's the organic solution to buy. And I'll be like, well, you know, just you want to water in the morning and you want to cut your grass high and you don't really need to put something on it unless, you know, you really want healthy soil. But you don't really want to go put some kind of liquid. And they're like, yeah, but what do I go buy in the store? And I'm like, okay.
Yep.
So,
yep.
But I do always start the show out asking about your very first gardening experience. Like, were you in California? Like, who were you with? What'd you grow? Like, what was your first garden?
Yeah. I watched my boyfriend, we lived in California, and in California, like, I didn't know, but in California, it's really easy to grow things.
Yeah.
So I didn't know, like, how easy it was, but we had a small apartment and, like, no backyard, but we bought a whole bunch of pots, and he just would grow tomatoes, and they grew so tall, they'd grow over the roof, and, like, we had pounds of tomatoes. And I just was like, oh, gardening's really easy. So kind of was in the back of my head that when we got to Idaho and we got some land that I would garden, little did I know, like it's much tougher out here than it is in California to grow certain things. So that was kind of my first intro to growing food. And growing up, my dad always had me out there weeding and kind of playing out in the yard with him, and it was a fun experience. So I've always enjoyed being outside and in the garden, but actually like owning a garden and taking care of something that was my own, this is pretty much my first time doing that.
Nice. So, is that how you learned how to garden organically? Like from your dad or from your boyfriend? Or how did you really get that piece in there?
My boyfriend's always, he's definitely into the organic thing. I didn't learn so much from him. I'm very like book nerdish. And so as soon as I decided I was going to do this, I had like 10 books on my shelf that I just went through. And they're all on organic gardening. I listened to different Audible books. So one that I really enjoyed, oh, I'm going to forget the name, Lab Girl.
Oh, I haven't heard of
And
that.
it's not specifically about gardening, but it's like a scientist, female scientist, and she just talks about plants in general and how they communicate. And so that kind of got me on a kick of listening to books that were about gardening or about trees and so forth. And so I listened to several books and bought a lot of books. And then really learning the details of how to garden came from a class I took this last winter from a woman named Judy Allen. It's not specifically an organic gardening, but her philosophy is just organic gardening, and so those were just the principles that you learned, and that really got me kickstarted for this spring to start my own garden.
Cool. So, well, let's go to your new garden then. Do you want to tell us about something that's maybe either grew well in your landscape last season or something that's already started this year? I mean, I know it's early. It's only June 14th, so.
Yeah, so I've got like a 10 by 30 plot for not 10 by 30, a 10 by 3, sorry.
I was
A 10
like,
by 3
wow,
plot.
that's
Wow, that's
ambitious.
No, I don't have that. So 10 by 3 plot, and I've got a lot of lettuce in there and carrots and beets, and the lettuce is up and it's doing really well, and that's been awesome. Like I never thought that I would actually grow that much and be able to have salads every night. So I'm really impressed with that.
Now, can I ask,
And
what kind of
I think
lettuce
I kind of cheated.
did you put in?
Oh, I put in so it's a variety of arugula and then like a red fire lettuce. So I kind of cheated because I got starters from a place called Cosmic Apple that's around here. It's an organic garden. And so that's a little bit of cheating because I tried to grow seeds this like spring, early spring inside, and they didn't go very well. So I ended up getting lettuce starters, and then I started seeds with beets and carrots. And then I also have some onions, and I've got horseradish, cilantro, beans, and garlic. So
Like
I
green
think
beans
that's
or what kind of beans?
there's sugar snap. No, I'm sorry, so not beans, I have peas. I have sugar
Oh,
snap
great.
peas.
Oh, I love those. All right. Well, I have like a million questions already. But first, as a teacher, I like would argue with my kids about this all the time. There's no cheating. We're just helping each other. You're not taking a test, right? So that's, that's great. And I think like listeners are, you're dropping golden seeds right there because who knew that you could transplant lettuce, like that you could buy lettuce starts. And I think that you kept going and were still trying is because I was gonna like, so in Idaho, we've had a really late winter. Like I don't even think Mike has lettuce coming up. He has lettuce that came back from seed from last year, but he's had a really hard time germinating lettuce this year because it's just been tough. Like there was snow for so long, and then when the snow melted, it was just really wet, and like he had a really hard, like he's just finally getting everything in. I think his mini farm is finally, he planted cucumbers yesterday, and I think he's got a few crops left to plant, but it has been a tough year for us. So to me, it sounds like you're doing great, especially because I would imagine your climate's pretty similar to ours, and you might even be. Are you like in a skiing area, like a higher elevation? Because we're kind of like in this, they call it the banana belt or the tropical Montana, right where I am.
Oh, nice. We're like Teton Valley. It's got a lot of microclimates, but I'm at the base of kind of the east side of the Tetons, and so I'm at like 5 to 6,000 feet, and it gets cold, but I've heard that it gets less cold here. Like I'm less prone to frost than some places that are like closer to the river in the valley. So I'm pretty lucky in that way. But just this last week, we had two frosts.
You
So you still have to cover things the whole bit.
yeah, Mike was worried he was gonna get a frost last night, and he was actually gonna go look for firewood like today or tomorrow. And that's what I say a lot, is like we could have a frost practically. I mean, there's like maybe a week in July where you don't have to worry about it. And I mean, I know we've had frost the first, second week of August. I mean, so I feel like you could have a
Wow.
frost any day, you just never know. And then with the climate
Yeah.
changing so rapidly, you really don't know what's gonna happen. So, well, cool.
Yeah.
How about, well, so pretty much you're excited to try everything new this
Yeah.
year.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, then. Do you want to tell us about something maybe that's not going the way you thought it would, or something in your landscape that didn't work out the way you thought it was gonna?
Yeah, so I got really jazzed up. So I took this class, this garden class, in like, gosh, I want to say it was February, March. And there's a topic we talked about, like growing seeds, you know, so start like making your own starters with seeds inside. And in Idaho, you've got to do that with like inside and with lights to some extent. And so I read all the packages and did all the research because I'm nerdy like that. And I got all the material and converted a room that wasn't supposed to be converted for gardening, but kind of took it over. and set it all up to my boyfriend's dismay. And so every morning I was turning lights on and I would water and I'd watch them. And man, I just did not do well with seeds. So I really have no idea why. I'm kind of doing another batch just to see if I can do it, even though it's a little late to be
It's
doing any
not
type of
late.
seeds.
Like, one of the big things I
No?
have learned is that if you're going to put stuff in for fall garden, you want
Yep.
to start in July. Like, get those seeds in, put your seeds in like the end of July so that they're ready to go in the ground in September. Like, I always think fall garden,
Really?
you're going to plant in September, and that's too late. You want to be starting them in July, so you're almost ahead of your fall garden. Like, things like broccoli, kale, what else did we put in last year that came out and was so much better in the fall? Any of those kind of like things that sugar, the sugar snap peas, you know, if
Oh,
they weren't
really?
doing good, yeah, you want to start another batch. You know, I mean, it's like spinach. Like, our spinach came up and bolted like within like oh, 3 days or something. Like, there was no spinach crop. It
Oh, wow.
just, so things like that. So you're not too late. Things that so one thing Mike does that's really cool that helps, I think, his peppers and things that like a hotter climate, is he makes these like mini greenhouses out of, like, he'll take like, you know, one of those plastic salad containers, and he puts the plants in
Yeah.
there, and it makes kind of like a little mini terrarium greenhouse climate for him. I know a lot of gardeners talk about using those heating pads underneath. I know that's something we struggle with a lot
Yep.
because you're gonna have a colder climate like us.
Yep.
And to me, somebody starting things from seed is like a miracle. I just look
Yeah,
at
it's
Mike, oh my
tough.
gosh, how do you get that to grow from a seed? Mike can grow like almost everything from seeds, cucumber starts and broccoli starts and tomato starts, and it is not easy. So I.
Yeah, I feel like there's a combination of like mystery. I'm like, I just don't know how to understand like why this one's doing well or that one's not doing well. And it's been kind of a guessing game. And I feel like you just need a lot of time to see what works and what doesn't and experiment. And I think even just inside my house, we don't get a lot of airflow because of the type of, we have a core four foam house. And with that, I just noticed that I think we just don't get airflow.
What's a core
So, but
foam
just all these things
house?
you can't read. It's like think of your house being built of big foam blocks covered with plywood. We had no idea it was like that when we bought it. They said it was stick frame, but it's like I want to say it's 6 inches thick, but I could be totally wrong. It could be more than that. But it's huge panels of foam, of like a thick foam. I'm someone who's listening to this is going to be saying I'm totally wrong, but and that's what your house is built out of. So it's really great for
Right.
insulation, but it's really poor for circulation because there's just no way for your house to breathe. So we notice that with like windows and like if you're cooking or something. But I've noticed it now too with seeds. I just struggle from mildew a little bit. And I had some rosemary that I brought in this winter to see if I could keep it alive. And it stayed alive, but it had mildew on it. And the only thing I can think of is just air circulation.
Okay, so you want to hear this tip that my friend Nola gave me about rosemary? Because I cannot keep a rosemary plant alive. I don't know what I'm
Yes.
doing. Is she, I want, I'm, I'll double check with her and put it in the show notes, but I'm pretty sure she said put Epsom salt in the water. Like a teaspoon of Epsom
Oh,
salt
really?
for like a quart of water. And, you know, just like use that quart of water over the course of a month. And she
Okay.
said that will help my rosemary plant. And her rosemary plants are huge and blooming. But she is like the succulent, like indoor plant garden. She's like her outside garden's gorgeous too. I mean, she's like the most intense master gardener. So, but yeah, she said that I'm like 99% sure it
I'm
was
writing that
Epsom
down.
salt because I have not bought the
Okay.
Epsom salt yet. But my plant died anyway, and I haven't got a new one. So. That's where I'm
Yep.
at, but I totally fell in love with rosemary last fall because I had this really nice plant and I had my crock pot at school and I was putting rosemary in everything and it was just so good. And I love fresh herbs. So,
Yep. Yeah.
the mildew, I
Yeah.
don't know.
It's
It seems
bizarre.
like that would be
It
water, wouldn't
yeah.
it? Too much water. It's not draining enough. I know rosemary likes like a drier, sandier soil, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I think I just need to experiment more with it. The other thing I made it difficult on myself with trying to grow seeds is I grew things like rosemary. Like I was trying to grow rosemary from seeds
Oh,
or
yeah.
thyme or I was trying to grow all these herbs from seeds. And I guess those are harder to grow. And maybe better to sow outside rather than inside, but just kind of experimenting with things. But the seed thing, I definitely spent, and it's expensive. I spent some money on trying to get, I got the heating pads and I got lights.
You
And
did.
if you drove past my house at night, like in the evening, you'd be like, what is going on there? Should we call them in? You know, it definitely did not look kosher. But yeah, it was good. So still experimenting with that. Haven't figured it out.
Well, that's good to know because I made this garden course and I said one of the first things you should grow that's really easy to grow are herbs from seeds. And you always see those little herb kits and people give them out for Christmas all the time. But it's true. Like, I have struggled for years to get lavender off the ground. And Mike's even told me he's like, lavender seeds are so hard to get to germinate. But then there's other people that have like nurseries where they sell tons of herbs. So I think once you figure out that secret, you can get it, but it is kind of hard to get some. Now, on the flip side, basil and oregano, I can get them to grow easy peasy. They will sprout pretty easy in any kind of dirt in my window. I always have a basil plant growing. But rosemary, thyme, I don't know about thyme. But yeah, rosemary, lavender, some of those herbs are a little harder to get started, I think. Before we get to the root of things, we're going to thank our sponsors and affiliate links.
Seed Voyage makes it easy to connect home food growers with the eaters who appreciate the flavor and freshness of ultra-local produce. Sign up for free at seedvoyage.com as a grower and offer some of your delicious surplus to members in the community. You'll be able to share your passion and make a few bucks. Eaters, sign up and see the amazing things being grown all around you. It might be the best and only way to try those Cherokee purple tomatoes and black Nebula carrots you've been reading about. Seed Voyage, a farm in every yard.
Hey, Green Future Growers. Did you get your copy of the Organic Gardener podcast, Garden Journal, and Record Keeper? One of the things that I've learned to be most beneficial for my guests that will save you time and energy is to keep detailed records of your garden journey. So I think I finally found the secret and made a garden journal data keeper that starts any day of the year because you just fill it in. It's blank. There's no calendar. So you just, it's got the days of the week. You can record temperature, freeze dates, frost dates, when you planted, what variety you got. All in one place. So get your copy of the Organic Gardener podcast, Garden Journal, and Data Keeper today. And now let's get to the root of things.
Yeah.
So Well, wow, we're already at getting to the root of things. But so is there like a least favorite activity you've come across to do in the garden? Got to kind of force yourself to do?
Yeah, I'd say my least favorite is also my favorite, which is weeding. And I say that just because when, like, I work remotely, so I work at home. And during lunch break, if I'm just having a frustrating day or I just want to zone out, I just go outside and I put my phone on and I'll listen to something like a Audible book or podcast. And I just put it on for 60 minutes and I'm out there just gardening or weeding. And so for me, it's a relaxing experience, but at the same time, it's my least favorite activity because it reminds me of how many weeds I have. Like, again, we moved into this plot with 2.5 acres of weeds. Like, if I could sell dandelions, man, I would be rich. But and it's just, I've looked online like what kind of grasses I have, and it turns out I really just have a lot of weeds. And so it's a bit of a struggle for me to try to figure out how to deal with that, with keeping in mind that I want to keep true to like soil conservation and organic gardening practices. So it's my least favorite and my favorite activity,
So you're actually
which is
like
an odd one.
pulling the dandelions right out of your lawn and like trying to dig the roots out. Is that what you're doing for weeding?
Yeah, so last year for this, for getting and starting in landscaping, I did the cardboard mulching. So I like laid down a whole bunch of cardboard. It was the crazy woman that would go to the recycling center, and I knew it was bad when they would say, "The cardboard lady is here." It's like, oh man. So they'd have me drive in, and I just grab a whole bunch of cardboard, and you have to spend time ripping off the tape and all that stuff. But I just laid it down, and then I got topsoil and also compost, mixed it together, and put like 4 inches on top of that, and then seeded it for grass. And I wish I wouldn't gotten the type of grass I did. I got Kentucky bluegrass. I didn't know any better. Because I don't want to water as much. I don't want to have to be a slave to watering, and I want to conserve water. So I should not have gotten that grass, but now I have that grass, and it's got a lot of weeds still in it. Just that I've blown in, and it's really easy for me to pull the dandelions because of the cardboard. So they're like, some of them have broken through the cardboard, and if they have, they're like so easy to pull out. But there's just a lot of weeds in there right now, so I'm trying to keep on top of it and actually have some grass around the house.
So do you think like you would mix like some clover or something in with it to kind of maybe make it a little easier? Or
Yeah,
what
I've
kind
learned
of what do you
from.
think you want to change it to?
I think I would have gone with goat fescue, which I had never heard of,
I haven't heard
and
of
I
it.
only learned from local gardeners. But apparently, it's a clumping fescue, and I didn't even look at fescues because I didn't think that they did well in cold climates. But again, I'm so new to this stuff. I read things that contradicted themselves all the time. But I've heard from people around here they have goat fescue, and it's awesome. It's like a low growth, so it doesn't grow very tall, and it's clumping, so it's not like you want to go and roll around in it. It's not like your like average turf grass. But it doesn't need watering, and it doesn't need mowing, which is like exactly what I'm looking for. And it stays green. I would say the problem with it is it's slow growing, so like it starts late. So I have someone who started their plot just recently, and they're battling weeds because it grows in so slowly. But yeah, I probably would have done something like that with Kentucky bluegrass. I've got a lot of watering to do with it to keep it going because we get dry. It's dry here, it's windy here, and it's not super hot, but the UV is pretty intense.
Wow, what, you are dropping just tons of golden seeds. I know listeners are going to be listening, and probably some of them are wondering, like me, what's fescue? Just a type of grass? Like I've heard the term and stuff, but I don't really know much about it.
Yeah, I mean, if I was going to try to explain it, I'd do it. I wouldn't give it justice. I again, it's just I bought books and I read a lot of things online. I even called seed centers and would ask them all sorts of questions. And one thing I learned from that is people who don't practice organic gardening are going to have different perspectives of what's a good seed to have because they're okay with using herbicides or all sorts of things to keep their turf or whatever looking the way that they want it. So I've learned a lot as far as like asking advice, where to ask advice, and I think the best thing I could say is try to find the organic gardeners in your area and ask them, or just visit their yard and ask them what they're doing. In hindsight, I think that's probably what I should have done instead of just going online.
Well, I love all of it. You definitely should start a podcast if you're interested in it, because are you videotaping a lot of your stuff? Because that's the other thing I constantly hear, video, 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 video. It's all video. So if you're videotaping your journey, I think you would pick up a good audience, because you have that curiosity piece. Look at how many books you've already read and how much you've learned already. And this is your first year. You're only going to grow, and you could have a really nice audience grow with you. And your willingness to share, and your willingness to, you know, share your mistakes and what's going on. This is awesome. So your favorite activity is weeding?
Yeah, because it's relaxing to me. Like I just listen to podcasts or Audible, and I have knee pads, and it's really easy for me to pull the weeds because of the mulching. And then when I can't remember the name, I want to say it's like a sickle, but like it's one of those things where it feels like you're like swinging, and it's got a little blade at the end of it, and it cuts down the tops of the weeds or grass. And that's another favorite activity of mine, because I just go out there and, you know, for 30 minutes, get a good workout just swinging away. Because we have a lot of something called salsify, and when it blooms, I've learned this is my first year like really going after salsify and trying to mitigate its spread. But try to get the tops off before it goes to seed. So instead of pulling it, which it's really hard at this point, I'm just out there swinging away at it. So
cool. Well, I always think that with dandelions, like the best way to get rid of dandelions is get your kids out there to go pick those yellow flowers before they go to seed, right?
Yeah.
It seems like that should be the best way to get rid of dandelions.
Yeah, exactly.
If you can get those kids out there to pick them before, of course, then they're always, you know, there's some that have already gone to seed and then they want to blow them and share them. But I love all of this. Oh my gosh, you've been just sharing so much valuable content. I know it's going to be a top listened episode. So what's the best gardening advice you've received after all of this research you've done?
I have a tendency to go all in, and I think patience is a big one. So I read all this stuff, and I want to see like how things are working and kind of go for it all at once. And it's good, I think, it's to some extent to kind of go all in, but at the same time, like having patience and like maybe taking it easy and focusing on one area. So I'm trying to conquer landscaping and gardening, and it can be overwhelming at times. And so I probably don't appreciate it as much as I feel like there's just a lot of work to be done. So I think focusing on one thing, maybe like one area of your yard or one thing you want to do really well this year, and just doing a good job at that and learning everything you can from it, and then kind of moving to the next thing next year instead of trying to conquer it all. And Judy Allen gave me that advice after meeting her at a dinner party. She was like, oh man, just so you know, you sound like you're trying to do everything. And at the time, I was like, it's not that much. And then came spring, and I'm like, oh my gosh. So
awesome.
Yeah, that's
so true. Like, start small. But and we all kind of get like that. I think in the spring, we're all like, oh, I'm going to do this. And there's so much dirt out there, and you don't realize how big things are going to get and how long, like that August slump where you're just like, oh, I'm so like spent, you know, comes. So that's great advice to share with people. Well, how about, have you come up with a favorite tool that you like to use? Is it that sickle type of thing, or is there something else that you're loving?
That thing's awesome. Yeah. So I highly recommend that if you just want to go out there and you gotta like blow off some steam, get one of those things. Much better than a mower. I should say too, like I am limited on my tools. So like I have a push mower, and I have 2.5 acres. Like by push mower, I mean, it's all mechanical. It doesn't take gas. It's not electric. It's like a full on push mower. So that sickle is great. I like that thing. The other stuff that I kind of have like a, what I wear when I go outside, and this is going to make me sound super dorky, but I'm kind of over it. I wear a fanny pack and knee pads. every time I go outside.
I love that. My mom just pulled out her knee pads the other day and she was showing me. She's like, do you have these? You got to have these. I wear these all the time. These are awesome. And even my picture of JM Fortier that I was posting on my website, like the picture on the website is usually cut off on the front page. But when I posted it, I was up doing my top 10 episodes and he's wearing knee pads. Like knee pads are awesome.
Yeah.
A fanny thing. That's a cool, that sounds like a great gift to give a gardener for Christmas or Father's Day or something. And my mom was showing me this little bench because I was telling her, I am so sick of Mike's mini farm. I want the deep beds. And I miss his deep beds. We used to just have the deep beds around the house. And then a couple of years ago, he planted this thing called the mini farm. And I've been out there since school got out trying to help him more. And just I was telling my mom, I'm so sick of bending over and picking out rocks and bending over and putting the plants in the ground and bending over. It's just too much bending over for me. So,
yeah.
Awesome.
It wears you out. So the knee pads and the fanny pack. Like, can I use the fanny pack for my phone? And I put headphones on. And that's when I listen to Audible. And also because I'm doing it, you know, I'll do it for my lunch hour or whatever. Then I can still take, if I get pinged from work or something, I can still be accessible. But it is, I mean, I look dorky as all dorky, but I've just given up. I don't care. I'm out there with, I've got big green boots and knee pads and my fanny pack. And that's, those are the three things I always wear.
And I also think like the other, all right. So I guess I was thinking like the fanny pack was like a padded fanny pack that you're wearing kind of like for sitting on. So
nope.
God, you explained that's just to hold your phone, but that's a good thing because one of my biggest barriers that I solved last year was shoes, like finding a good pair of garden shoes. Cause I always like to be in my, I want to say slippers, but not some sandals. And I would go down there and my sandals would get dirty and I get dirt in my toes and I didn't like it. And I don't like having to put socks on. And then there's that whole process. Like if I have to go all the way to tie shoes and put socks on, I'm, you know, it's going to, there's going to be days where I'm not going to go just because of that or times. And so I found these awesome shoes that have holes in them, which I am now wearing all year long. but it's true, like little barriers like that are huge and can make, because I'm all about the convenience. I think gardening has to be convenient, or you know, it's already a lot of work no matter, you know, how much you love it and how much you enjoy it and how pretty it is out there and how much it smells good and you get to see the butterflies and the bird. There's definitely a lot of work involved. So anything you can do to make it convenient and easier and then, of course, more successful, which I feel like you're dropping tons of golden seeds to let listeners know things that they can do to be successful. So how about a favorite recipe you like to cook from the garden?
Oh, so here's the trick with cooking is I don't. My boyfriend is the cook, and he is an amazing cook, and I've taken the role of growing the food. I will say my favorite recipes from him cooking with things from the garden are pizza. So we have our own, we keep like our own sourdough starter, and he's really big into bread making. And so he makes his own pizza dough. And then we also have a pizza oven. So if you get fresh herbs on there, and hopefully maybe one day I'll have tomatoes that I can add to that, it's pretty amazing. So I will say that's awesome. Fresh herbs are, that's been a big goal for me, is to give him fresh herbs, because otherwise he has to go to the store, and there's a little organic grocery store around here called Barrels and Bins, and he buys them, but they come in little plastic bags, and that just kind of bothers me that we're going through all these little plastic bags just for a little bit of rosemary or some basil when I know I can grow that. So that's been a big goal of mine.
I can see like 5 years from now or 10 years from now, you're going to be the source for herbs in your area. And you're going to be selling like little pots of herbs at that Bins and Barrels and Bins or something. What's a pizza oven?
A pizza oven. Okay. So I'm going to butcher this, but it's basically like a soup, you know, your general oven in your house, like at least ours can only get to 500. But to cook really good pizza, you need it to be like 800-900.
Really?
And so it's an oven. It's like a fireplace that contains the heat in kind of like a ceramic or whatever, kind of an area and concentrates it. And then you can slip the pizza in there on something called a peel, which is like, you know, if you go to a pizza place and you see them kind of like shoveling in the pizza and then pulling it out on a big wooden flat tool, that's called the peel. And so we have a small little pizza oven that we use, and we eat a lot of pizza.
Oh my gosh, I am so glad I asked that question. That I was not expecting that at all. So where is it? Like, does it sit on top of your oven in your in on a counter or?
No, it's outside. So we'll use it even if it's snowing outside or in the winter. I mean, there's all sorts of pizza ovens. We have a friend that built theirs from mud. It's just like something that can take a lot of heat and can concentrate it and can fit a pizza in and out easily. So there's a lot of different variations. Ours we got is smaller and movable in the sense that like you can take it apart and move it, but they're very heavy and awkward to move. So it stays outside. He built a little kind of bench that it sits on. And it stays there permanently. So even though it's a movable pizza oven, we haven't moved it. But
Cool. I'm so glad because Mike really got into the pizza making thing a year ago, and that would be a secret for him to bake it at a super high temperature. I wonder if he could
oh
probably build
yeah.
something like that. That would be cool.
Yeah.
Out of
There's a lot of books out there for building your own pizza ovens that like super, you can either spend a lot of money on pizza ovens or you can build your own and make it pretty cheap. So
Awesome. And nobody said anything like that, I don't think. Cool. Well, I love all of this. How about so, with all your research you did, what's your favorite internet resource? Where'd you stumble along that you want to share with listeners?
oh man, I will say the internet is, it can be a hard, I work in tech and so I'm on the computer all the time and I feel like Googling is a skill in itself that you have to work up to. So I don't know if I found one resource that I rely on quite a bit. I will say one thing I wish the internet had more of is pictures. Like I'm guilty of this too, but if you take pictures and post them, man, that's super helpful, even when identifying things or trying to see like at different stages of growth what it's supposed to look like or like why it's doing what it's doing. Like if I have mildew on my rosemary, right? Like does anyone else have exactly what I have? Is it really mildew? So the internet is, I don't know if I found one resource. I use YouTube a lot. So like when I was trying to build my irrigation setup for the garden, I looked through a lot of different YouTube videos and I think maybe those are most helpful because they're visual. So books are great and articles are great, but man, the visual of videos is probably the most helpful. So I'm gonna say YouTube.
Okay, so did you take some videos of your mildew on your rosemary to share with other people? And then this was a big
No,
one
but I should.
that I learned the other day listening to a podcast. They were talking about labeling your pictures. Like I just upload and it'll say image
Yes.
273 or image 569, and the guy was saying,
Yeah.
"No, you want like you make the alt tag, but
Yeah,
I need
metadata.
to start labeling all those images." So,
Yeah.
but these are
Yes.
great tips out there. And then, like, I have been banging my head against the wall like 100 times because last year Mike picked this broccoli for me and he handed it to me, and he must not have had his glasses on. And I'm like, this thing is moving, Mike. Like, the entire head of broccoli was covered in aphids or something. Like, just
Oh,
like, I knew
wow.
there was no way. Like, I was like, get this thing out of the house. And I went down, and we had one plant, and Mike planted so many broccolis last year, and it was so weird because they were all on just this one plant. And so we ended up just leaving that plant to be like the sacrifice plant, and all the bugs stayed on it, which I've heard listeners talk about, but it's the first time we've ever really seen it happen in our garden. And I am like killing myself. How did I not take a picture of that? I mean, I kind of
Yep.
understand because I remember when he handed it to me, I was cooking dinner and I'm like, what is this? I'm like, do you see? I was like, look, there's a bug. Oh my gosh, this whole thing was covered in bugs. But
Yeah.
why I didn't go down and take a picture of the plant the next day, I don't know. So great tips. And see, that's what I was saying, like video, video, video. Everybody says in the online world, if you want to have an online business, video is still
Yep.
king.
Yep.
What's your favorite book that you came out with? Like, or was there a magazine or a blog or a website that you want to recommend? Like, what was your
Oh.
favorite reading? And you could do like three or an Audible book that you want to tell us about. I know you mentioned that
Yeah,
one.
so Lab Girl is a wonderful Audible book, so you can read it as a book or an Audible book. That's by Hope Jaron. I hope I said that last name right. And that's, again, not so much gardening, but it just gives you an idea. She's approaching it as a scientist, like the communication and how plants like have their own center of communication. And it just gives you some perspective of the organisms you're kind of trying to grow. And then another book I read was The Soil Will Save Us, I thought was really good. Talked about earthworms.
That's Kirsten Olsen,
and some other
right?
things. Yes, it was very, very good. I really appreciated that. And again, these are just like, not directly like on how to do things, but just giving you an understanding of like the biology of kind of your yard. So I really appreciated those. As far as like how to do things, the Rocky Mountain gardening books, I've really enjoyed, but I enjoyed them in the winter. And then I will say they didn't necessarily apply to my situation. I got them because I thought they were dealing with, you know, kind of would be similar because they're in the Rocky Mountains, but from what I've learned, I'm totally different. So, they've given me some ideas for things, but that you can't take the advice as, you know, 100% because it's just not going to work for what I'm dealing with out here versus what, kind of what the book is talking about in the Rocky Mountains. So, yeah.
So this friend of mine, Leslie Fowler, that I interviewed, recommended this book called Growing in Cold Climates that might kind of help a little bit.
Okay.
I'll send you the all link to that so you can check that out.
All right.
Well, you don't really have a business, but I love what you said about Googling is like a skill in itself, probably partly because I'm a teacher and I just feel like, you know, that's an essential skill, but like, do you have maybe any advice for listeners about how to do research or something? I mean, you definitely seem to have like this scientific research master personality. I just love.
I listen for resources a lot. So in the books that I read, I always look at resources and see where they're getting their resources and check those out. And then I would say I look at pictures a lot, so to kind of get me in the right direction. And then if you can poke around the actual picture from the, like, you get really geeky, but you can find one where it's hosted, so like where the picture is. But then from there, you can kind of see like where it was taken or some of that kind of stuff. So like I'll search for pictures of plants in the area that I'm at, and then you kind of come at it from different angles. So I'm not like, if my question is mildew on rosemary, I'll search for rosemary plants in Teton Valley, or like, I won't search for like mildew problems on rosemary in Teton Valley. I'll just search for rosemary in Teton Valley. Not that that's always going to give you what you're looking for, but just different ways to try to approach it, because people who post things aren't necessarily posting things because they have the same problem you do, but they might touch on it. So just try to think of different ways to ask a question.
So just out of curiosity, since we met in the Facebook group, like, are you having any luck in other Facebook groups?
There's a Teton Valley Garden one, and that one's great just for community. And you know, we give each other heads up when there's frost coming. And it's good too. I like recently posted, for mowing, like mowing services, because again, I don't really have a mower and I've got 2.5 acres of weeds and I'm just trying to mitigate some of the weed issues.
Sure.
And I posted on mowing and then someone replied in a message, like, just a heads up, if you're trying to mow to get rid of salsify, if you cut off the tops of it, it just grows back up and grows more heads for seeding. So it was great. And then I was like, oh, well, let me experiment. So of course I tried it and sure enough, the salsify has more heads. So I realized maybe mowing isn't the best way to go about this with this particular, weed. Some people grow it as flowers, so I shouldn't call it a weed, but, to give some perspective, that's what I have. I have salsify and dandelions. I don't really have anything else. 2.5 acres of it. So,
well, it sounds like it's full of pretty yellow flowers. Do the bees like them? Do you at least have bees? Because we have like no bees this year. And my mom was saying she has like no bees this year. Are you at least getting some?
We don't have many bees.
Yeah.
I'm looking around. I put some lupin seeds out there and those came up and I've seen bees over there, but Man, I know. We don't see as many bees as I would hope.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, I feel like I've seen like 10 bees this spring. It's like you see a bee and I'm like, oh, a bee, a bee, go bee. And it is just, it's just really scary in a lot of ways to me to think it's gotten that bad. But all right, well, we're up to the final question already. Angel, if there's one change you'd like to see to create a greener world, what would it be? For example, is there a charity or organization you're passionate about or project you'd like to see put into action? Like, what do you feel is the most crucial issue facing our planet in regards to the environment, either locally, nationally, or on a global scale?
Oh, man, that's such a tough question.
I know. But man, you're going to have the best answer.
I would say... knowledge is one of the biggest issues. Like, and again, you can probably tell I'm geeky and I like to research things, but, once you, like, if you, again, I'm going to bring up that Hope Jaron book, Lab Girl. But like getting a perspective of what's going on in your feet or around you and understanding that these are like living organisms and how they interact with one another and how they get affected by different things that happen in their environment, I think gives you perspective to make all the changes that you need to make or that society needs to make. Once you understand and have empathy for what's going on around you, I think that that's kind of the crux for taking some action to make change. But yeah, there's tons of great organizations out there. And, you know, there's composting efforts and all these different types of things that you can get involved in. I will say it can be an overwhelming problem. And some advice I was given was just to focus on one thing and try to make that your mission. So like if it's composting, then just do, you can't solve all the problems in the world, especially conservation. It's such a big and overwhelming issue. But, you know, just choose one thing that you're going to make kind of your mission and focus on that. So if it's composting or if it's organic gardening or whatever it is. So, man, that's a tough question, but.
Well, that was an awesome answer. And I'm so excited because nobody's mentioned that Lab Girl book. And I think it's really important to understand the things that are going on. And then I'm just going to slip in our little acronym for FOCUS that John Lee Dumas, the head of my podcasting course, always says, follow one course until success. So he's always saying focus, focus, focus. Follow one course until success. Yeah. So I think that's awesome. And it's true. It does get overwhelming and just find something that you're passionate about and put that together. And I'm struggling with that, especially I want to start a new podcast this summer called Authentic Teacher and kind of talk about some of the things you're talking about, like, you know, skills and technology and some of the things that we need to be teaching kids. And so I'm struggling to focus on my podcast and I'm working on my free garden course and I finally got my email series sent out yesterday, which is like, I've been working on that. We had a big celebration because I was like, Mom, I have been working on that since before I launched my podcast. I can't believe it's finally done. Like now, if you sign up for my email list, you're actually going to get not one, but six emails right off the start that we'll introduce you to Mike and I and hopefully help solve some people's problems. And it's just like, I had no idea what to say for all these years. And I finally got a cheat sheet from somebody's website the other day that kind of said, these are the kind of things you put in it. And so anyway, focus, follow one course until success. So not that you haven't given us a million already, but do you have an inspirational tip or quote to help motivate listeners to reach into the dirt and start their own garden?
Oh man. Be informed, search for it, and have fun with it. And it's a lot of work, but it's a lot of fun. So, it's definitely made my life a lot better and kind of given me a sense of, appreciation for everything around. And, you just get to interact with nature. It's awesome. So yeah, go for it.
Cool. Well, that was awesome. Well, do you want to tell listeners how to connect with you? I guess I'm just going to say you can find Angel in the Organic Gardening Podcast Facebook group, but do you have any other way you want to? And I can cut this out if you don't, if that's good or.
I'm on Instagram. I am a private user, but I accept people who look like they're not bots. And that's A.R. Garbarino. I wouldn't say I post a lot of things in gardening, but man, you've inspired me to start getting some video content because as it's become apparent, like that's what I was looking for. And for me not to go back and give some of that as well is something I should definitely do. So.
Aww. Well, thank you so much for sharing with us this early morning, and just have a wonderful summer, and have a great day.
Yeah, thank you. It was great talking to you.
Okay. This is Jackie Marie Beyer, and I am just hoping that you're as excited to be learning and gardening this spring as I am. And so I'm really wondering what you're up to this spring. And I'm super excited to announce that I am finally going to launch my Facebook group, the Organic Gardener Podcast Facebook group. So I really want to hear about your journey, and I really hope that you will come there and share your questions, your successes, your challenges, your pictures, your, you know, connect with the other listeners in the audience and, you know, what's your vision for the future, or what's your vision for your garden, for your organic oasis? You know, are you planting flowers? What are you doing? You know, what project are you taking on this spring, this summer? You know, I really want to learn, you know, what do you want to know? Is there, you know, what kind of guests do you like? You know, who have you enjoyed? Who would you like to hear more of? You know, what topics are you really enjoying? You know, is it raising honeybees or planting perennials, or, you know, what kind of seeds are you looking for? You know, are they annuals, perennials? You know, what kind of vegetables, what kind of herbs are you planting? What flowers? Do you have any questions that we can answer? You know, what guests have you, liked the most, you know? So what is there something you want me to find out? Like, I'm really going to try to be as active in Facebook, the Organic Gardener Podcast Facebook page and the Organic Gardener Podcast Facebook group. So, you know, if you're interested in, you know, learning more and reaching out and connecting with other people, you know, especially, you know, the great thing about it is all of a sudden, you know, you might meet three people who are in your area. Just like since I started my podcast, you know, I met Robin Kelson and Laura Behenna. So it was so fun to see them last week. And Pamela Lund, who, if you haven't heard her episode, she's just got a great story. You know, well, Robin's been in the top 10 since she aired. But to meet these, you know, people, and then I went to the Aero Conference and met more people that are living locally near me here in Montana that I never knew till I started my podcast. And so if you join the Organic Gardener Podcast Facebook group, you'll probably meet people in your area. And then maybe I'll be able to find some people from the other states, because I think I'm up to like state 20 or 21 still. So there's still more states that I haven't interviewed people from than states that I have. One of these days, I'm going to read that list and try to get some people, some listeners. Listeners always make great guests, I think. You've all got more knowledge than you think to share, and some answer that somebody else has been looking for. So if you want to come on and share your gardening journey, you know, I'm always looking. But today, I really want to talk about, you know, join our group. You know, let me know, what can I do for you? Even if you don't want to do the Facebook thing, I totally understand. Or if you have another channel that you like, you know, reach out to me, email me, go to the website. You know, you can connect with me. There's the get in touch page. There's a listener survey on there where you can, you know, which basically is just easy questions about, you know, what's your biggest challenge that I can help you with. But just most of all, I hope if you want to, you will come join the Facebook group, connect with me, and just let's change the world together. Thanks for listening, and remember to grow.